Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to Pablo Torre Finds Out. I am Pablo Torre, and today we're going to find out what this sound is.
Gino's Italian, Halo Pizza from Brooklyn.
Right after this ad.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
It is Kentucky Derby time, and are you ready for the greatest 2 minutes in sports? So saddle up with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. And right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Download DK Horse now to join the Run for the Roses action. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with code PTFO. Only on the DK Horse app. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See terms at dkhorse.com. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at dkhorse.com.
Coupon.
Pablo, genuinely, I didn't prepare anything. I thought we were smoking weed for this podcast.
I thought you and I
were going to bully him and just make him watch us smoke weed. And
then we
moved it to here and we're not doing that anymore. So I smoked a bunch of weed before I came.
I do have a bag full of, I think, Mike Tyson edibles
that
we've been collecting.
Are the ones look like ears?
Yeah, we got the the Mike Bites.
I've had those before.
So I guess I should say that I have collected what seems to be sports media's largest collection of athlete-branded weed.
God, this is such a tease.
For an episode that we were going to do today, until I learned recently that we can't do it, even though I think we should and will do it eventually.
Absolutely.
Eventually, yes.
Because
this summer we can.
Absolutely. So that's this summer. All of this will be consumed this summer. But in the meantime, I want to explain why we can't do it.
And that is?
And that is.
I've taken an extended break from smoking and consuming marijuana.
This is me clapping
it's
along.
Because it's,
went into a bunch of edibles.
Yeah,
the producers behind the glass are like, why are we applauding this? And I want to hear Dan out.
Hey, we're applauding
number one,
this for a number
it's legal
reasons.
Now, so it's only for dorks.
Okay, don't start there.
If you weren't
don't
doing it
there.
When it was actually worth the risk, okay. You're a narc and a nerd.
He's not like this, I swear.
And no, I've been consistently getting high almost daily since I was 15, and I'm about to turn 41. So that's 26 years of dunking my brain in resin. And
what's the longest break you went on in that time?
5 days.
That's wild.
And I'm at day 14 right now.
Woo!
I have so many questions.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in therapy. I've been in therapy for 13 years, and there becomes this moment. I quit drinking 11 years ago, and when I quit drinking, there became this moment where it felt like it didn't serve me anymore. Started feeling like it was holding me back, and these are feelings that any addict will tell you that when you're conscious of it, you feel like, oh, I know I need to stop, and I don't want to. It's like being in a toxic relationship. You're like, it feels good, but there's a lot of bad, and I'm ignoring the bad because I still like the good a little bit, but I know in my soul I need to get out of it, and you convince yourself, I'm fine. So when I started doing therapy, I was having a lot of problems, and my therapist was like, well, you're an alcoholic, and I was like, I'm not an alcoholic. I just party. Sorry, I can. Sorry, I'm such a blast.
She's like, no, I know. People say that all the time. Yeah. It's like written that line on like a poster.
Well, what he says,
no, but it's different for me. Yeah, I'm different.
No, I'm built different. So I remember when I was quitting drinking specifically, my therapist, I was like, you know, I drink, but I'm not my dad. My dad was an alcoholic. I'm not an alcoholic. And my therapist just point blank goes, no, you're being exactly like your dad. You're drinking and you're not taking ownership of it. You're using it as an excuse. You're using it as a crutch. And I was like, well, that's not true. And then I quit drinking and I realized he was right. And I have no want or need to go back to drinking. It's very few and far between. With how much non-alcoholic beer has progressed in the last 7 years, the one thing I missed was having a beer at a baseball game. I used to love to go to a Mets game and have a giant beer and then seven more. But that first beer was always like, this is unbelievable.
And what about it, though, just to explain?
Baseball is a beer drinking sport.
Yeah.
You like watch when you go to the park for baseball, you want a hot dog and a beer. You want to sit there. It's a relaxed environment. You're just kind of chilling. I loved a summer day. A beer and watching a game.
Yes.
And when I quit drinking, there was a lot of things I missed the getting f***ed up part, but I missed I went to a Mets game and I was like, this is the biggest itch I've ever had is I want a beer. But now non-alcoholics are so good that I can have a Heineken Zero, I can have an Athletic and just be like, oh, this feels like I'm drinking a beer.
The ritual gets to be simulated.
It scratches the itch. I've been smoking weed that whole time, but I like doubled down on the
weed. Yeah, I was going to ask, what's the substitution effect when you can't do the thing?
Cigarettes and weed. I was smoking cigarettes, but then I quit cigarettes 6 months later. So all I was left with was weed. So that got ratcheted up quadruple.
How long ago was this?
11 years ago.
Okay.
So when did you quit cigarettes? 11 years ago?
Yeah, I quit drinking in March of 2013, and I quit cigarettes June, right before my 30th birthday, because I didn't want to go into my 30s smoking cigarettes. So I quit June 23rd, 2013.
I don't even remember the year, and you remember the date.
Oh, I remember the date, baby, because I miss cigarettes still.
So I was going to ask,
the hardest thing to quit is cigarettes. The hardest thing to quit for me, I know other people have different feelings. I miss cigarettes daily. Katie and I talk about it all the time. She quit cigarettes. She's not going to brag about this, but I'm very proud of her. She was on Nicorette gum and mints and then quit in January. And she's been
December.
Good.
December 24th.
There you go. See, you remember the day.
Only because this was Christmas Eve and we were on a road trip and then 2 days later we're sleeping in our car and I was like, could really go for some of that thing that takes the edge off right now. I still have one on me.
And she never used it. And I was very impressed that she quit nicotine.
It's the lamest thing to have to quit. It's like little candies you put in your mouth every few hours.
Yeah, but people don't realize.
But it's a real
addiction. I'm addicted to Werther's Originals.
Yeah, well, that's what I replaced him with, Pablo. Thank you. Shout out to the Werther's company.
Yeah,
they make them in all different flavors.
And by the way, she's just walking through bags.
Not anymore. I slowed down.
But February and March, there were Werther's wrappers everywhere because Katie was just popping them.
On the question of the edge off and that effect, is that what you missed? To be specific about what cigarettes did for you?
I mean, they're cool as shit. I miss going outside. I miss the first...
The sound when the flame hits the paper and you take the first pull, that
when you go like this...
Yeah, but don't do it. If you haven't started, this is the thing that I'm like, don't start.
Yeah,
but let us talk about missing when we did it.
A lot of young kids now are getting into Zins and they're getting into stuff. I think if you go straight to vaping or straight to Zins, you're missing the coolest part.
Yeah,
which is smoking and dipping.
Right.
It's like tobacco rules.
The smoking part I get because I've seen movies.
Yeah.
Dipping, I want to look like that.
Dipping's pretty great.
Dipping, what?
Dipping can be pretty great. I have a lot of friends that dip.
The stuff it does to your teeth, the stuff it does to your breath, the way you have to carry around us. As a bartender,
the
amount of times I've had to clear people's spit cups.
Yeah, but anyone that had dipped watching this goes, I get it.
I don't.
They're like,
Nate
Bargatze might watch this and go, I get it. I get it and I miss it. Because I remember he would pick me up in Queens and he'd pack a lip and I would be waiting to get out to smoke a cigarette. I miss cigarettes. But when I quit cigarettes, I found I could smoke a joint and it would kind of...
Yeah, because it fills the same. It does. They say a lot of it. I remember they say a lot of it's the physical act. So they'll say like cut a straw real short
like
when
a
you're
neural
trying to
fixation.
Quit. Yeah, yeah, and just like do that like
dum
you would a cigarette.
They say but, like dum-dums, I mean, toothpicks.
You replace smoking with smoke.
Yeah, with cooler smoke.
Yes.
And yeah. I just always loved weed. Like since the time I was 15, I just liked getting high. I still like getting high.
But you're from Colorado.
Yeah, which it wasn't legal until 2014.
So what's the, do you remember what, this is where we talk about the first time we smoked weed, I guess, but
oh,
when?
Oh, God.
Well, it depends on what kind of weed, because I smoked like swag when I was in like.
That's what most people smoke in high school, I believe.
With it's seeds like, and stems
it's just,
and shit.
Yes, exactly. It's garbage.
I didn't really like that, because the high from swag is very red eyes, very hungry, very giggly, a crash. You're like, And then the first time I smoked chronic is what we called it back when I was a child.
So 40 years ago.
Yeah, 26 years ago.
Damn, I was only joking.
Shout out Brian Tannenbaum. He rolled a blunt of, and we were at this girl Amber's house party, and he's like, oh, I got chronic. And it was, I remember the day, because it was a year to the day my dad died.
Oh my
God.
It
was December 12th, 1998. And me and Brian smoked a blunt of chronic that he got from Boulder. Boulder, Colorado had incredible weed. That was the light green with the red hairs, no sticks, no seeds. And he rolled it and we smoked in this backyard and I got the greatest high I've ever had in my life. I was laughing my ass off. I was wearing a Mountain Dew box as a hat. Thought it was the greatest bit of all time. Stayed at Zach's house. I slept at Zach's house. And I've told the story before, but I was so high that the next morning I had a weed hangover, which is I was giggly and hungry. And I went home and my mom's boyfriend, Joe, was watching UConn's women basketball. And I was like, it was like 10 in the morning. And I was like, we should order Pizza Hut. And he was like, what? And I was like, we should get one of those. They came out with the Brooklyn XL pizza.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, we should get a Brooklyn XL pizza. Like, I could fucking hammer one of those. And he was like, no. And I kept doing the thing of like, come on, Joe. I was trying to get a bonding moment. Right. Like, I would have liked him a lot more if he would have gone like, yeah.
You know what Gino Auriemma would want us to do right now?
You know what?
Papa Gino?
Yeah, dude, let's get it. Gino's Italian. Hey, love pizza from Brooklyn. And he shot it down. And then I just remember going and like,
Joe
sucked. It just became like, oh. Like, it's like going from drinking $3 vodka to the first time you try like good liquor. Where you go like, oh, this is like a different
category.
Yeah, like I like this. So then it just became, who can get chronic? Let's smoke bowls. And then it got out of control. Like high school.
What does that mean?
Gravity bong hits. We're doing shotguns.
Are you making a gravity bong? Or
yeah,
you actually, okay.
Absolutely. I have a
like
great
a bucket. In soda
just to
bottle.
Reiterate, this is during the developmental years of your brain.
Yeah, well, whatever, dude. it warped it. But we would take a gallon of milk and then we'd cut off the bottom. And then with the cap, we would use aluminum foil to make the bowl.
Poke some holes in it.
Yeah, poke the holes in it. And then we put the bowl and then we put it in like this, I think it was a kitty box.
Like kitty litter box?
Yeah. Like one of the old ones from
a cat toilet?
I'm a dead cat. We washed it out. We're not fucking idiots.
No, you didn't. You were high school boys.
No, we washed it out because we knew what it was. So we put the water in. I have a picture of it. I have a picture at our house of me taking a gravity bong hit. And we would just get fucking ripped. And we were just finding ways to get fucked up. And then it became whatever money you made at your job, can I go get an eighth? Like, who had eighths? Shout out Devin. I think he's in prison right now. But Devin had weed at the apartment complex by my house.
I hope he's not in prison for weed.
No, I think it's might be murder.
Okay.
For those not watching on YouTube or the DraftKings Network, Dan did the thing that Sammy Sosa did when he hit a home run to Devin, who might be in jail.
Shout out, Devin, dude. I know you're on the inside, but we're on the outside living for you. And our senior year, we voted him most likely to brighten your day, and the school changed it because they found out who it was.
Oh, no.
They were like, no, we're not giving that to a drug dealer. And we're like, no, 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 no.
But he is the most likely.
He was the most likely to brighten your day. So we just became kind of like, my dad had died, so I kind of cirrhosis. So I kind of saw what alcohol did. So I was like, well, this ain't booze. Not knowing I had an addict's brain and just being like, well, I'm just smoking weed. I just became like a huge pothead and I just like loved smoking weed and I stayed loved smoking weed up until 14 days ago.
But the question of like, what does being a huge pothead actually entail for people who aren't huge potheads and want to
I'll give you this example. When you go to the doctor, they ask you how many drinks you have a week. That's a thing.
I remember never telling the truth.
Never one tells the truth.
I didn't go the lowest, but I went to the middle one, even though I knew that I was probably like the third or the one that says four more. I feel like I did the like three to six week.
I'm on the Mediterranean diet, I think. I can drink a glass of red wine.
I have a couple of glasses. I remember I was drinking 16 drinks a night.
Oh my God. Such a tall tree.
I would do 8 beers and 8 shots. That's what I, because I'd do a shot and a beer, which Nate Bargatze always would be like, if you eliminate shots, you're all right. And I was like, I don't know if that's true. I still think I'm drinking 8 beers. But I used to do a shot of Jameson with a Bud Heavy.
Isn't that funny? I did not know that because he had quit drinking by the time we met.
Yeah.
But like, that's the guy I'm going to marry. That's what he would have drank. Yeah. So it worked.
And then when I got a little money, I moved to Stella.
The guy in this time capsule is your husband.
But ask anybody and they knew.
That's the guy I would have picked. Shot of
Jameson with a Bud Heavy.
Yeah.
And then a couple Camel Lights in between rounds.
I mean, he's my true love. That's my soulmate.
This is all making sense.
That's my soulmate.
And so finally I said that to a doctor. I go, I don't know. I do like 8 beers, 8 shots a night. And the doctor was like, Jesus Christ. Like, complete professionalism out the window. They're like,
he's like, I got to make a call real quick.
I think he went like, God, all right. No, don't do that. So what I said to my therapist when we were talking about quitting, I said, that was my Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hours. I'm like an expert at getting out of my tits. Like, I'm so good at getting fucked up. I could, like, if someone was too high, call me like Winston the Wolf. Like, I can I've walked her back a couple times.
So, okay, wait, so let's explain this.
Oh,
what
my God,
makes Dan Soder good at this?
So many times.
Why am I good at it?
Because he's been up there.
And what's it like when he is guiding you?
He knows where the exits are. Yeah. So he knows how to get you to the, I mean, I go.
Do you remember, during the pandemic?
Which one?
The God weed, the God nug.
The one that made me think that we knew. Okay, the Orson Welles one. I don't even know if I can speak about. Because I don't even remember. I just remember, the only part I remember is that we were watching, we got high.
Very high.
Very high. And we were watching, remember when Orson Welles, I'm going to f*** this up, released like 2 movies at the same time. And one was a movie of like.
Citizen Kane.
But it was like, and then the other was a documentary about the making of that movie or something. I feel like I heard about it from Ride Home. And so I felt like it was going to be like an artsy endeavor for me. It was like the most recent release. They put out this like Orson Welles something.
Again, we were very high.
Either way, we're
affects
watching.
Affects your memory.
And I'm already going into this going, is this the movie or is this the documentary about the movie? Which when I'm high is exactly what fucks me up. It's the concept of I'm playing a video game or someone's playing a video game and I'm being played by them. And the thing inside the thing when I'm high makes me go, well, what thing am I inside?
And let me explain to you as a Sherpa.
Yes.
The ground has been moved from under her.
Right.
So then there is a mental free fall.
Right.
The mental free fall is when you have to grab someone and pull them back up. And
well, the thing that triggered it was Orson Welles is doing the voiceover of this documentary.
Yes.
And in it, he's saying things. He's saying, and now pay close attention here. And it's like a clip from an old movie, but then it would go into people talking. But if I close my eyes, my voice just heard like one continuous audio stream. And it sounded like the clips that Orson Welles was using in the movie were narrating the documentary. So then I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Orson Welles is talking directly to us.
Yeah, when listen, you get, it's
and
when
I
you
made
get dizzy.
Him rewind and Dan's like, what you're saying is happening isn't happening. Are you feeling okay? And then I went, I don't know. Where am I? Yeah. And then I just dropped to the ground and he was like, all right, here we go.
And that's when you're like, you fasten yourself on the mountain.
Yeah.
You go, you get her and you climb back up.
He opened
the. I got her wind. I got her water.
Opens the sliding door. Put a glass of water next to me.
Cold wind and water.
Calmed Myrtle down because Myrtle's going, what's going on with mom?
She's trying
what's
to lick
going
her
on
face.
With mom? Yeah. Mom's freaking out.
Dogs understand this. Dogs know when you're spinning. That's why they're great companions.
She'll do this thing where if I give her like the right look that I'm not conscious of, she'll come over and just start licking my hand to be like, come back down to earth.
Katie's down in a well.
Yes.
Myrtle's trying to tell people.
Yeah. Yes. She's Lassie. This is Lassie. Timmy's in a well. That's exactly it. You nailed it. And if you've been around super high people, whether it be mushrooms, whether it be weed or acid, you understand that you need to tether them back to the earth.
Yes.
You just need to go
describe what you're feeling. Describe what you're hearing.
This was the best advice I ever received. And I don't know if this man is alive or dead, but it was a guy we used to buy mushrooms off of. And he always said, before you trip, right on your hand. I am tripping. It's okay.
Smart.
Because then that's you from before. So that gives you
your memento style.
I was going to say your memento.
That's exactly it. And there had been some mushroom trip.
Do not trust him. Oh, yeah. No.
I'm on fire. You're right. What do you mean I'm right? But I am tripping. I always remember, I am tripping. It's okay. And
right.
Like you would look and you go like, okay, got it.
So this too shall pass. You're trying to intellectually get them to buy into that.
This too shall pass. That's all you need to understand is that it will come back and you will, and that's what I kept saying to her. Hey, give it a little bit. Yeah. You're fine. You're floating right now. You're going to come back down. It's the soda in Willy Wonka. Burp.
Yep.
Just burp.
Yep.
And you come back down. What loses you is you're up there and you go, I'm never going to come back down.
Yeah.
And then you fly higher and you do go.
Yeah.
My experience, the worst I ever felt with weed was eating the smallest part of a brownie that a friend had told me, like, yeah.
Edibles do something different to you.
Yeah,
I don't
they
know
do.
What it is.
It's like an unrideable wave.
And it was the feeling of, oh no, they put, clearly, based on how I feel, something other than weed in here.
Yeah, well, then that's
you
the
lose the ground.
Yeah,
that now you're just like free floating through space.
Yeah.
Smoking weed is swimming in a pool. Edibles are swimming in the ocean.
Yes.
It's a bigger sea. Yes. You can get lost.
You can
lost
see
easier.
Where the shore is.
There's a riptide. One of the moments I knew I had to quit drinking was I used to work a lot in the city. I wasn't on the road a lot, and I was working at the Comedy Cellar, and I would do like four or five spots in a night, and I would go to a bar called Triona's in the West Village, which is right around the corner from Cellar, and I'd do some Dan drinking because I didn't want to do Dan drinking at the Cellar because I didn't want them going, this new guy is getting too
smart.
Hammered.
No, it's still stupid, but it's smarter than it could have been.
I mean, I was born in the darkness, molded by it.
Yeah.
So I knew where to go to get. But then one night I came back for a late show and I was too fucked up and I literally felt like I had swam too far away from the beach. And that was the feeling I had on stage, was I can't control my words. I can't control my thoughts. And then the next morning I woke up and, as one does hungover, I felt ashamed. I felt anxious. And I was like, man, if I want to be a comic for the rest of my life, I got to fucking change some shit, because I was too fucked up on stage last night at a place that I have dreamt about working since I was 17. So I need to fucking cut drinking. But weed was always there, baby. And I love weed. I still do, but it got to a point where I just released a special in March.
Yes.
Available now on YouTube.
Yeah. Really f-ing good.
Thanks. It's called On the Road. In 1997, the United States enacted the Deadbeat Dad Law, which meant if you didn't pay child support, you were going to jail. My dad died in 1997. Buzzer beater! I'm in the process of building, and I just felt like, man, I need to get better. I need to get better. And I think that's always a step someone feels professionally, where you're like, what can I do? How can I want every step to be an improvement, even if it can't be, I want to try to improve.
So your comedy, your craft was the reason.
Yeah, it's just around, you know.
let's leave the art.
Goofing on.
I don't want to go Levitard and talk about art,
please.
And the artist and
yeah.
all that.
Yeah, yeah.
But in terms of just,
I love comedy and I want to be very good at it. I want to be the best that I can be. If I get old and I'm like, oh, I could have done this, I'll beat my. I'm very good at beating myself up, as she knows. That's the only domestic violence in our house, is me kicking the shit out of myself in my brain. But I want to be as good as I can be. I had the same feeling with weed that I was having about alcohol all those years ago.
I was going to say, you've identified now like being on stage with alcohol as the turning point in this too, seemingly.
I was like
being
forgetting words. I was forgetting trains of thought. I was forgetting like, where am I going with this? And I'm already kind of dumb. So like, it was making me dumber. And I just kind of felt like, all right, well, let's try. Let's just like, and I had the same talk, same therapist, you know, and he said, what about quitting weed, you know?
Mm.
And what it was specifically was I have a lot of anger and a lot of stuff that I haven't worked on from the death of my father and my sister, Because after my dad died, you know, that December 12th, 1998, I started smoking weed. My sister was killed in a car accident on October 29th, 1999. And so I go through that and I'm just getting like more fucked up. Right. And then I lose my aunt in 07 that I was close to, and I just getting more fucked up, and just people I knew were dying. And I was just getting like, well, fuck, like I'm good at this.
Does it? Did it feel like self-medicating?
Yeah, 100%.
Like you were aware that that's what was happening?
No, but I kind of did. It's kind of
make
like,
you feel better enough.
Yeah, man, it made me feel great. Great. But then, you know, I was talking to my old roommate, Vecchione, about this today at breakfast, where I kind of had this false, this fake persona of like, oh, I'm a chill weed guy. But then I'd lose in a video game and fucking explode.
And then we had to get a new table.
Shout out from IKEA.
It was from IKEA, so like they are easy to break in
but
his
I
defense.
Just wanna let
but
you know,
it did break.
Down and in. Down and in. I fucking cleared that thing. I lost a Rocket League game.
I was
going
to say, I believe we've established that this was Rocket League.
It was Rocket League. Dude, I was like, that was my Rocket League?
Give me my black belt.
The sun was out too.
I fucking shattered that motherfucker.
And then she heard it on the
chat.
She heard it on the chat.
I go, what was that? What was that?
And I'm immediately ashamed.
Yeah.
But
it's okay.
I just wasn't tied to my emotions. I just kind of felt like, oh, this is self-medicating. And when you start realizing that, you go, what if I take the medication off? Like, what if I talked to my therapist, and my therapist was like, maybe you're using this as a crutch. Maybe you need to feel things. Katie was in LA doing work for a week, and I looked online, and they said, you know, withdrawal symptoms usually last about 7 days. And I did the math. That was where I was like, let's chill for a couple months.
That's wild to me, if I may, because
yeah.
I was like, wouldn't you want me to, I would love to be there to help you through whatever withdrawal symptoms you're experiencing.
Yeah.
You don't have to hide.
I know I didn't have to hide it, but I didn't want to inconvenience her.
It wouldn't have.
Because one
I'm
of the
so
things-
I'm so busy, let one me
of
tell
the,
you.
But one of the things is like, I didn't sleep. I didn't sleep the first week. I just was like, you don't sleep because I'm getting sedated. I just had a physical like 2 months ago, and my doctor was like, all right, marijuana use? I was like, daily. And he's like, how much? And I lied like we do about our drinks. I was like, yeah, once a day. But I was like, I smoke when I wake up. I would smoke before the shower, and then that's just how I start my day. And then throughout the day, I'd just keep smoking. And then at night, it was like, bong hits, edibles, let's f-ing go.
Before you go to sleep, you would take at least an edible.
I'd take at
night.
Least 25 milligrams, at least. After smoking all
enough
night.
Enough to sedate me. That would sedate. I would be, you
but
talk about losing the ground.
I'll sleep through the night.
So kind of. So, not even really. Kind of.
But something that I want to know from Katie's perspective about all of this is, to what extent did Dan seem stoned versus also being functional, which is a...
Let me tell you something about the Soders. We hide getting f***ed up very well.
Yeah. Dan never really comes into the other room and says he's freaking out. But the next day, Dan will go, I freaked out a little last night. And I'm like, where was I? He doesn't go through it out loud. He goes through it all inside.
Flexing through his shirt.
Which I'm like, then I immediately think of all the times I've been on the ground needing him to fan my sweaty back because
right,
I don't
like
know where
wants,
I am.
You want the Sherpa and Dan
and
is out
like,
there soloing.
Right, and then, no, and then I feel like a monster because I'm
mountain.
Like, I was in the other room just goofing off, probably getting frustrated at you because we're in the chat and you're not responding. And I'm like, are you on your phone? Why aren't you answering us in the chat?
Yeah, you guys play video games from different rooms. To
yeah
but on headset.
But
because
on headset.
With other people. We're not just like on headset with each other.
But in the same apartment.
Yeah, in the same, whatever.
Sometimes.
Should I be more ashamed when I say
that? No. I just want people to understand what.
Whatever, man.
Yeah.
We live a life.
He goes through it kind of alone. And
yeah,
so,
as one does.
No.
I know.
I don't always know. So it's, but I can't.
That's only child syndrome.
I'll notice when he gets really, really, I mean, he'll usually come out and go like, I'm going to get scary high tonight.
That's literally my words.
I'm like, why?
I come out and I go, I'm going to get scared.
He's like, hey, what if, I was thinking, what if, you know that weed that we've stopped smoking because you're so afraid of it? What if I put that into a bong and I just do binger bongers and I'm going to get going? And I was like, why do you aspire to get so scared? Like,
yeah,
isn't that the bad part? Why are you chasing the bad part?
I'd sit there with a full bat and just to this, and, you know, and a lot of my friends, we get high like that. It's just kind of everybody I've ever been friends with. That's just what we do, you know, before the bonfire, we'd rip Keef-dipped
Jesus Christ.
Keef, moon, what is it?
Like everything now, can I just say, all of the dispensaries are like, you want a small little one? Okay, we dipped this one in more weed.
Yeah, in resin, and you can smoke this. And I'm like,
I just want a baby
gourmet.
One. Some of us
gourmet.
Smoke like when we tried it the first time in high school, we did not like it. And yeah. We went to a scary place. And some of us just like to take a little edge off.
But the question of like walking around the world and being functional enough while also overcome, does it feel like I am overcoming the thing that is making me stoned? Does it feel like there is a challenge or a thing you enjoy about, like, I can do something that they can't?
I think I have a lot of anger in me that I've never dealt with. And I think I have a lot of frustration in me that I haven't dealt with, like health, like in a healthy way, like actually worked through it. And I think weed was like, dude, put it up on the side.
Like, I also, I feel like you have a constant running, I don't know because I'm not in there, but you've got an inner monologue of anxiety that it's like a hum that has been humming for so long that you've kind of learned to just like push it in the back. But when you smoke weed, it goes further in the back. So you can really not even tell that it's there.
It's putting on noise canceling headphones.
Yeah.
It's like I get high and I put on those noise canceling headphones and I'm like just walking around. And what's crazy is since I've stopped smoking in the past 2 weeks, my anxiety levels have dropped.
Yeah.
I don't have any anxiety.
Wow.
I get anxiety in certain situations that cause anxiety, but I'm not anxious. You know, I don't think I'm done smoking weed. I think I'm done drinking for sure. I don't want to go back to drinking. I don't want to become that person again. Cigarettes, God only knows. But weed, I just need a break. I just needed like, let me get 2 months. And by the way, I talk to friends that are huge potheads and they go, well, yeah, you got to take a break. And I go, you guys have been taking breaks? I've been doing this 26 years straight.
Well, I told Katie immediately, we were in LA getting dinner and she told me about this. She broke the news to me that we couldn't do our athlete.
Which we will episode, do.
Which we will do again. We're going to do
it. Trust me. When
if we don't, it's okay.
Yeah, but I don't care. When you're a Hall of Famer, you got a ball.
But what I told her immediately was, and again, forgive me for not being the best advice giver, given that you are currently trying to stay in the state that you're in. I was like, but when you do return to it.
Yeah, we can do it.
It's going to be incredible.
Well, that's kind of where I want to get. I want to
When I don't smoke weed for a while, I come back and I'm like, oh, this is why I fell in love with
it. Yeah. Well, that's what I want. I want it to be a treat. I want it to be cake. I don't want it to be a daily vitamin. I want it to be cake. I want it to be like, hey, dude, let's have some cake. And then you're like, oh, you get that excitement of like, yeah, dude, I can have some cake right now. The way I was smoking, I needed to do it before I left the house. And Katie will tell you that. She'd be like, hey, we got to go do this. I'm like, all right, hold on. And then the window would open and I'd I had my one hitter on me like an ankle gun.
I just kept
that thang on me. I would just
always
be like,
stress.
Oh, cool. Just walk in and be like, and then you're like, man, let's, and it just like, dude, I don't have anything against weed. This isn't a thing where I'm like, and now I found Christ.
Oh,
and
100%. I love weed.
This is me just, let me get out the pool and dry off.
For this many years consecutively, I've had nothing to justify to anybody.
Your
brain has not had a second to go, maybe we should build some neural pathways sober.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have a thought process function soberly through your brain.
I had bathtub fingers, and I just want my fingers to go back to not
Yeah, you've been
fingers.
You've had wrinkled
raisins.
Let me get out of the water for a little bit. I've said it to friends of mine who have had real problems with addiction, like real, real bad problems. People, friends of mine that have relapsed, other friends of mine that have gotten through it. And the friends of my life, I've seen a reaction from people where you have people in your life that you trust, that you love and you trust. And when it's a consensus, you go, I'm going the right way. And enough people have gone like, all right. Like Vecchio this morning at breakfast, he didn't know. And I told him, he's like, yeah, dude. All right, I'm excited to see this. You know, Bargatze was like, all right, buddy, here we go. You know, like, let's go. And Katie immediately understood. She went, yeah, take a break. And by the way, I'm not mad at her for smoking weed. She smokes weed before we play rock.
I was going to ask,
I also don't have any alcohol in the house. So like, I feel like I'm doing my part.
Yeah.
And since you're just taking a break from this one and we have all that weed,
it's
not going to smoke itself.
We have a lot of weed.
And so especially today, I felt I had a duty to stay true to the concept of the podcast.
But you know what's funny is I'm like, yeah, dude, go get high.
Well, so I was going to ask.
She asked this.
I do it in a different room.
Yeah, she is respectful, but I was joking around.
But he can't smell, so it doesn't really.
Right.
Yeah, I have no sense of smell. So I'm like, dude, go rip it. I'm going to hang out with my friends that smoke weed, and I'm probably going to watch them smoke weed. And I'm like, dude, that's great. My dad's family is all addicts. I mean, top to bottom, you know, and they're all dead. And it's me and my cousin, and we're kind of like, damn, everyone was fucked up. And it's like, my dad's family normalized it. Like, this is what we do. We get fucked up. We're good at getting fucked up, and we are. We're very good at getting fucked up. But time to take a break. I'm in my 40s now. I just kind of don't want to be...
I'm not yet.
I just kind of don't want to be an old stoner. I kind of want to have my wits about me as I get older. So whatever I have to do, I've been doing it consistently for 26 years.
26 years.
Yeah. I don't remember most of my life. Yeah. But I just felt like, whatever, man. It's time to chill out for a little bit.
One of the things that I was in LA for was because I had all these 420 ideas, but really what I'm so glad to do is like actually get to what's more interesting about all of this with people who actually like sincerely have a relationship with weed. And like it's nuanced and it's not as simple as, oh, so.
Well, let me tell you this. Please. 420 is to potheads what New Year's Eve is to alcoholics. It's an amateur's holiday.
And especially in New York where it's fully legal.
Thanksgiving is where you get high.
Truly, my favorite Twitter search is like weed on Thanksgiving, weed plus like cousins. And it's like everybody attesting to the joy of discovering this forbidden thing of getting high with your cousins once a year.
My mom my mom kind of kicked that door down for everybody.
Shout out Cam, dude. We'll rip it on Thanksgiving. I'll be back. But I just don't kind of want, like I said, I don't want to make it the standard. I'm just kind of want to dry off.
Yeah. So one of the things I asked in LA of an interview subject, Matt Barnes, former NBA player, who was the preeminent stoner while active in the NBA, was like, what do you think about-
And possum hunter.
And a possum, yes. 9 minutes I watched of
just
an Instagram.
Just grab it, dude.
Hop in, bitch. Come on, hop in.
6'8", Matt Barnes.
Whole thing he built? Like, what are we doing?
You know, like
that was a pothead way of solving it.
He's like, okay, I got this. And then as soon as it touched the thing fell over.
You could also tell, because like anybody from the country was like, just grab the thing, throw it outside, man. It ain't going to kill you.
What I wanted to know from Matt Barnes was, what's his view on cannabis as a performance-enhancing drug? Because he smoked so much before games, and again, there's nuance to the ritual and how far ahead of games and so forth. But for you, did you ever have a thought of, I am made better because of this?
Man, Bonfire ripped when we got high. There's a certain high Jay and I would get where that radio show would be fucking cooking. Because we're buddies. We're genuine friends. And I love getting high with Big J. And we would watch silly videos. And it would be like, everything I did in high school that brought me joy after school, I got to do that job for 8 years. And I love it. And I love it. And I still love going over to Jay's and smoking a joint and watching YouTube fails.
I feel like something you said about alcohol is what you're maybe getting at, correct me if I'm wrong, is that when you quit drinking, you were afraid that your talent was tied to drinking.
I still feel that about weed.
Right.
I still feel, you know, I just headlined my first weekend without weed in Omaha. And it was like...
I could not be more fascinated as to how that felt.
It felt... I was nervous... until I got on stage, and then I was like, oh, this is, I'm doing stand-up. I gotta write better jokes. So I was like, oh, still here. That thought's still here. And I had fun, and I was what I found was I didn't lose my place in my set. I found, like, I felt like it was a little more concise. I felt like it was a little more like, oh, you know, I think you kind of want to learn how to hit the baseball without steroids. It's like, if I can, you know... if I can hit dingers not on juice, well then I've got my swing back. But the swing stays your swing. I feel like shit doesn't get away from me as fast as it did when I was high all the time.
That's a good way to put it, I think.
Stuff would get away from me and I'd be like, where it's like Ayuk's catch. You saw that concentration against the Lions, or he's like, and then it falls in my hand. And you're like, oh, when I'm sober now, I can kind of see. I don't go like I'm just like, oh, just put your hands out, and there it is.
So what it sounds like, I mean, and this is something that I was hoping you would have insight into, was just like, oh, absent this variable, I am like this. And I have learned that actually the thing, not that, you know, the real championship was the friends we made along the way.
But it really is, it is
like
that.
It's you. Like, you've, of course, been the guy going on stage the whole time.
Yeah, that like, you know, the cliche in superhero movies where it's like, I've lost my powers. And it's like, no, you always had your powers. You just thought that this amulet or this thing gave you your powers.
The invisibility cloak or whatever.
Yeah, and it's like, no, you don't really need that. And again, this is something that I have gotten to myself. I don't expect everyone to feel this way. It's just something that, like, if you're struggling with substances, just know it's probably, it's not the substance. It's, you can get rid of it. You know, I think one of my favorite things about comedy and being able to do podcasts and a radio show and shit is when I talk about drinking, people reach out to me and they go, you don't demonize it. You don't make it like, there's a lot of programs out there that make you white knuckle. And they go like, you can never do this again. But you go, well, if you understand the relationship, you understand sometimes you don't f-ing need it. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think substances in this country are a lot of times marketed well and taxed heavily. So they like people to be on them. And that can kind of blur your relationship with the substance, especially now that weed is legal. There's a lot of people pushing it that demonized it 10, 15 years ago. And those of us that are lifelong weed smokers, it's like, man, some of y'all came to the party when it was safe and we think you're dorks. So
maybe
stop thinking like,
so that's
It's
going to be me.
No,
there.
You were smoking weed before that.
Yeah, a little bit, like a year or two before that, but not most of the, if any of my high school friends still listen to things I make, which I bet they don't, but if they do, shout out to Ashley Studley, who right now is thinking, lady, when we got high in high school, you got on all fours in the driveway and we're like, I'm dying, call an ambulance.
Yeah. But that, I mean, I think there's just people who go through shit that you're like, you see people go through it later when it's safer and you're kind of like, fuck you.